8 to 35, still 18 degrees. I get a lot of input and information from a lot of people, and I appreciate that. And I got a note yesterday, in fact, from somebody that I very much respect, saying, did I miss it, or did you have someone on yet from a hospital saying how COVID cases are down? A very positive report that COVID cases are down, meaning, at least at the moment, until there's another variant or anything else, there's light at the end of the tunnel, and it is not, as far as we know, a speeding train coming right at us. Well, I thank you for the thought on that, to the person who will remain nameless, anonymous, because they didn't tell me I could mention them or their name. But here we are. We are talking about the headline, Henry Ford Sees Hopeful Signs Amid Pandemic. And we asked Bob Riney to join us, the very good Henry Ford, President of Healthcare Operations, Chief Operating Officer. He's in the middle of a meeting. We fully understand that. We have the next best thing, our WJR senior news analyst, Lloyd Jackson, who's taken a deep dive into the COVID-19 hospitalizations beginning to ease. This is awfully good news. I don't want to get overly reactionary, but I mean, we're looking for any good news we can get, and this is good news.
It is good news, Paul W. Bob Riney and some of the other Henry Ford officials held a press briefing yesterday, and they said overall that the number of COVID hospitalizations in Henry Ford hospitals has declined since Monday, when there were 551 COVID patients. As of yesterday's briefing, that total had dropped to 499, and two of the 499 are children under the age of 17. Now, more than 90% of all hospitalized people in the Henry Ford hospitals for COVID or in ICU or on a ventilator did not receive a booster. As of yesterday morning, the COVID positivity rate for lab testing was 33%, which is down from 44% in the first part of January. As of Monday, Henry Ford had 77 beds temporarily closed due to staffing issues. 54 of those beds are at Henry Ford Hospital, the main campus, 22 at Henry Ford Wyandotte, and one at Henry Ford Allegiance in Jackson. Last week, the hospital system had 87 beds shut down due to COVID issues among staff members. Now, there are currently 473 Henry Ford health employees not working due to COVID. That's down from 593 employees a week ago. And Henry Ford has about 1,000 registered nursing vacancies right now. And the rate is, they say, very similar to other health systems in Michigan across the country. Now, they've been working with Michigan State University. Some of their nursing students are doing some clinical rotations within Henry Ford hospitals. And that's a program that Bob said that the health system is hoping to expand even further.
That number, 473 team members out sick, which is the decrease, as you said, from 593 a week ago.
Yep.
I wonder what the regular numbers are, the pre-COVID numbers are. I mean, they got a big staff. There's thousands of people that work for them.
Yes.
So I just wonder what their regular numbers are. These are obviously higher than normal.
Than normal, yes. It is going in the right direction, at least.
Yeah. All of it's going in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fewer
and
people.
Even our numbers from yesterday, Paul, the state reported 86,009 COVID cases, including cases from Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. That averages out to about 17,000 confirmed cases per day. And, earlier this month, we were hitting like 20,000 cases a day. So it's still a lot, but it's going down.
It is a devastating disease, and we honestly don't even know the half of it, frankly, in that, first of all, we have to thank again and again the workers at all these hospitals. Everybody that does anything at a hospital is a hero.
Mm-hmm.
But after all of this is over, the fallout, I'm afraid, will be even more devastating. Because there are people, God bless them, who have decided to the best of their ability to hang in there until we get through this pandemic, until there really is light at the end of the tunnel that isn't a speeding train coming right at us. There are people who feel an obligation to keep doing what they're doing. But when this thing is over, I think we're going to see a mass retirement, change of careers, fallout, unlike anything we've ever seen before. And that will mean we've got another problem on our hands. I don't mean to be, I'm not crying wolf.
Yeah.
I'm just saying what I hear, what I see. And I think, however we can, we need to start thinking about that and working on alleviating that problem that's ahead of us, because we will always have medical issues that are going to require these hospitals. We've got lots of them.
Yeah.
And I worry about that.
You're saying basically these people are going to be exhausted once this is done.
They're exhausted now.
Yeah. 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 It's best for everybody to start looking at that and start, recruiting and trying to get more people in, because it's not just the hospitals, Paul W. It's law enforcement. It's EMS. They're out there as well.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a tendency to talk about the financial aspects, and that's fine too, because it's extremely important. And we talk about how hard restaurants have been hit, how many restaurants have gone out of business for a variety of reasons, how many restaurants will never be the same for a variety of reasons, and other businesses that have family businesses, generational businesses that are gone now forever.
Gone. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Once we haven't had a chance to catch our breath and really take stock of what's happened here, but we have to prepare ourselves so that with the next problem, and there'll be others.
Oh yeah.
That we have learned something from this one, and we can be better prepared to deal with this or something like this. And I, frankly, Lloyd, am not certain that's going to happen.
Well, Paul W., if we can't take a page from what's happened now and learn from it and do better, then I don't know what we're going to be able to do.
Yeah. But it's whatever the thought process or the way these things work, it's like the first time we heard of a harassment problem or worse on a college campus. That was a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that didn't spur people on that saw it happening at other universities, including our own, to step up and say, well, I saw that. I see this. This is what's happening, and it's time to say something.
Right.
It didn't happen. So we don't learn our lessons very easily, very readily.
No, and it seems like we have to, keep bumping our heads up against the wall and actually see a knot forming before we do something about it.
I just don't know what it is. It's like we need collective therapy. We can laugh about it, because if we don't laugh, we'll burst into tears.
We'll cry, absolutely.
Yeah. So I don't know what the answer is. My job is to, at best, ask the questions and see where we go from here. But there's lots to do. I'm telling you, I was so impressed with Dr. Gerald Scott Winder, the clinical associate professor in the departments of psychiatry, surgery, and neurology at the University of Michigan. I'd step up and be one of the first patients with as many people who wanted to join me to try to make sure we don't continue to make these mistakes.
Yeah.
Because in the end, it's really stepping up to look out for yourself as well as everyone else.
Bottom line, we're in this together. Right.
That's right. The bottom line.
Yeah.
All right, Lloyd, thank you. I'm going to get up off the couch and continue the show here. Appreciate your listening.
No problem. Anytime, sir.
WJR senior news analyst Lloyd Jackson here on the Paul W. Smith Show at WJR at 844.